Non Nobis Domine, Part 3. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Psalm 115 and verse 1. We've been working through this three-part series on a book with that name, based on Psalm 115. Many of you have this and are working through the pages with us. And we talked about in part one the history and the establishment of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. Last time we talked about how the CEC is grounded in convergence worship and how all the major streams of Christianity come together in one mighty river, as it says in Psalm 46, and that we bring these things together. Well, today we're going to move into that section of the book which talks about being born again and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two very important things in our Charismatic Episcopal Church. Two things we believe in very strongly and that fall into, believe it or not, all three of our streams. It's not just the Charismatic Pentecostal stream that believes that, but all three of our streams. So here's the major points from last week. The three streams of Christian worship exist in the world today. The evangelical stream, that the Bible is the holy word of God, inspired, inerrant, and applicable to us today. God still speaks to us today. God still speaks, and He hasn't changed His mind. Charismatic, in that the Holy Spirit is at work in God's children today, at work in the world, that the Spirit of God is powerful and mighty, and that we are sacramental, that God makes visible to His church His presence and blessing through the use of outward and visible signs, which convey an inward and spiritual grace. That's what we do in our worship, all the signs and symbols that point us to the person of God. All three streams converge. Remember, convergence is things coming together. And all three streams converge and are at work in the church and worship at the same time, where charismatic in music, prayers, inspiration, the work of the Holy Spirit in all of us gathered. The Eucharist, remember, we put this in the charismatic part and not in the sacramental part, although it fulfills all three. The Eucharist, bread and wine that turn into the body and blood of Jesus, the real presence of Christ in our very hands and in our bodies. The Eucharist is very charismatic. We're evangelical in our readings, our sermon, in obeying the command, do this in remembrance of me, for example, in proclaiming the thanks be to God, proclaiming our amens. We stand up together and we proclaim that we believe in one God, all of that in the evangelical stream. And then we are sacramental in the structure of the Mass or the liturgy. It's been described as the banks of the river that hold the three streams together. Grace imparted through vestments, crosses, movements, incense, icons, candles. Which brings us today to the strong foundation that the CEC is a convergence worship church. All three streams come together in one place. We are a church wholly charismatic, wholly evangelical, and wholly sacramental. And remember, we can't be just a little bit of one and a whole lot more of the other. It's not allowed. Our bishops safeguard that very carefully. All these reports you might hear me talking about having to fill out, you know, we let them know what's going on here. And it is the bishop's charge to ensure that our churches do the very best they can to be all three of these things at the same time. Holy charismatic, holy evangelical, holy sacramental, which in other words is organized chaos. But it works, and it's beautiful, and it's Spirit-filled. So today, we're going to talk about that section of this book, which focuses on two major things, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being born again. And now if you're following along in here, there's a whole lot more in the book that we're not able to talk about in this five-part series, Sermons on Sunday Morning. So I encourage you to look at that. There's a whole section in here about how all of these things are misunderstood and how they're expressed differently in different places. And what I'm doing is avoiding that topic. I'm just telling you how we believe and express it in the CEC and what we do here. We all know there's different denominations that do different things, and we can get off, you know, the book talks about some of that and everything, but I want you to, you know, look at that for yourself and try to figure all of that out, because I want to focus on our positive elements here. John 3, chapter 1 to 6, we'll focus on this morning. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." We must be born again. And born again because all of us were born once. All of us were born in flesh. And now God calls us, each one of us, to be born in spirit. Being born again means that the Spirit of God has been breathed into your spirit. Genesis chapter 1. We are made in the image of God. 1 Thessalonians, we are spirit, soul, and body. Ephesians 2, 1, our flesh follows the way of this world. When our spirit is born again, we can follow the ways of God. God calls us to a second birth, which rebirths our spirit. We can't be just flesh. We can't be just a living entity. We are born to be spirit. And God gives us the great gift and opportunity to do just that. Being born again means offering our very lives to God. And it's an invitation for us to do that. Remember, our God is a gentleman. God doesn't make us do things. We have that irritating gift of free will that really bugs me with some people. It's right in here. I don't know what you're complaining about. But God calls us to a relationship with Him. God doesn't make us have a relationship with Him. When we make someone have a relationship with us against their will, then we're actually going to end up on an episode of Criminal Minds. Or some such thing. You know, that's how serial killers are born. "You're going to love me. And we're going to live happily ever after, you know, in a basement, in a cabin in the woods." God doesn't do that. God invites us to relationship. And calls us into this born again thing that is so difficult to describe and to understand. And yet God calls us to it. Why be born again? Well, we're born again to more fully follow God, empowered by the Spirit. Nicodemus goes to Jesus and gets this odd message that you have to be born again. And he doesn't understand it, Red. Well, how can you be born again? You know, you can't do it over. It doesn't make sense. But it makes sense when you look at human beings as body, soul, and spirit. The body is born. The living soul, the thing that keeps us alive, is there. And it's the spirit that is called to be reborn. Why be born again? To receive greater grace and a closeness with God that we cannot otherwise know. We've met those people that just seem to have something. And when you meet that Christian believer who just is glowing and the Spirit of God flows out from them, from every pore, you look at that person and you say, I want what they have. And it's a grace that you cannot know without being born again. And we're born again to move from believing that God exists into actually believing in God. A subtle semantic maybe, but a lot of people out there believe in God, meaning that they believe God exists. But they don't necessarily believe in God, that God is going to work in their life, that God has something for them, that God's actually going to provide for them. You know, if you say that you believe in someone, we're not saying that we believe they exist. I believe in Father Chris. Yes, he exists. We can go over there and pull a hair out and make him go ouch, and that can prove that he exists. But, you know, we don't want to do that because that would they're scarce over there. So we don't want to do that. But when I say I believe in Father Chris, I believe in Father Chris as the principal of Lake Country Christian Academy, you don't for a second think in your mind, well, yes, Father Chris Keogh actually believes in the existence of Father Chris Burnt. How gracious of him. I'm not sure if I believe in his existence. I can see him. I don't think I'd get close enough to pull a hair out. He'd take me out. So I'm not saying I believe in his existence. I'm saying I believe in him as a person. I believe in him as an educator. I believe in him as a Christian man, husband and father. I believe in him as a priest. That's something very different than just saying I believe he's there. And that's what God wants us to do with him. Not to just believe that he's out there somewhere, but to believe in God that he can and will work in our lives. And that's why we want to be born again. To move from being a Christian believer to being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. If you look at Acts chapter 8, there's a scene where there were a lot of people who believed in Jesus but had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, had not been empowered. They believed in Jesus but didn't see anything at work in him. They believed in all the things they saw him doing. There wasn't anything for them to grasp in their own lives. And the apostles came, realized that they had been baptized, were believers in Jesus, but had not received the Holy Spirit. They laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do it? Gosh, Father Chris, this is all real exciting and everything, but how would I do that? Well, I happen to have a slide for that. How to be born again. This is right out of the book, folks. I'm not reinventing the wheel. Thank you, Most Reverend Bishop Philip Weeks, retired bishop in the CEC, now living in Virginia, who wrote this book for us. How can we be born again? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Simple list here. Believe in Jesus. confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, seek amendment of life, we confess our sins, but there's always the step two of amending our lives and changing our lives, trying to follow Jesus. Receive Jesus into your life, that He's not just out there, but that He's in here. And have faith in Jesus, that God's going to do what God says He's going to do. God's going to do what He says He's going to do. That goes back to that believing in God existing as opposed to believing in God at work in our lives. And we need to get from one to the other. Some of you are really, really good at that. Others kind of wonder, you know, oh, God has all of these wonderful blessings and great things for everybody else. And I'm just not seeing it. God, why is life so much easier for everybody else and it's not for me? God wants you to know that He empowers your life with the gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know that He is there and you can believe in Him. So it's kind of goes hand in hand that once we are born again, once we have this new birth of a life in Christ, that we are then filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's that Holy Spirit that gives us this new birth. And the Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives, but again, He wants a willing participant in that. God isn't going to come in and do something that you don't want Him to do, usually. When we get to this issue of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's simply a matter of ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. God, I'm looking for you. Matthew 7, by the way, all of that. And I want you in my life. I want more than just going through the motions. It's actually very simple. You're all glad that I didn't write this book. It'd be about 4 pages. I'm so simple-minded, you know, with footnotes, 4 pages. Again, thank you, Bishop. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to grace you with the abundant gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask for forgiveness of sins and the power to turn away from sinful practices and desires. God, I want to change my life because I want Your Spirit to have a good host. I don't want to ask the Spirit to come into a dirty place. We're going to be dirty enough anyway. God, I want Your Spirit in a good, clean host. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not Your Holy Spirit from me. A whole another sermon, we can get into that too. But ask for forgiveness of sins and the power to turn away from sinful practices and desires. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask Him to renew your belief and commitment to Him as Savior. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now's the time. If you've done it before, ask Him to renew that, to strengthen you in it. It's not a verse you're going to find in the Bible. There isn't a verse in the Bible that says you must ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. It's not there. But we believe that through putting all of it together, we know that we have to ask Jesus to be that for us. And then ask other believers to pray with and for you. You are not in this alone. You are not in this alone. This Christian community, all these people here, we pray for one another. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit to do a mighty and powerful work in your life, all of us are praying for you. Whether we know that or not, we're praying for you. We're lifting you up before God. so that God will hear your petitions and your desires. And if that's one of them, we're supporting you in it. Churches all over the world of every denomination doing this. Praying for Christian believers that the Holy Spirit of God would empower them and be at work in their lives. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask other believers to pray with and for you. In this book, the bishop offers what many call a sinner's prayer. I'm going to ask us to pray this together. And then after we're done with that, I'm going to ask our other priests, Father Michael and Father Chris, to come forward. And the three of us will offer ourselves in this ministry to you and invite you to come forward and have one of us anoint you and pray for you that you may be born again and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, or that God will renew that right spirit within you, that you would be embracing your born-again-ness, and that you would continue to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is for everyone. This is for all of us. Let us pray. God, I know that I can never come to you by the good works that I do. I could never earn the right to be in your presence. I am condemned to spiritual death by sin. I believe that you came to earth as a man in Jesus and died that I might live with you. I believe that you were resurrected and that by the same resurrection power, I can be resurrected to life with you. I accept the free gift of this salvation by Jesus' blood, and I receive Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I invite you into my life to change my life, to truly be my Lord as well as my Savior. Amen. I invite you to come forward to be anointed and to pray for the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you're born again.